All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Today we're going to talk about getting your boat gear set up for the season, what it takes, what you need to do, what things you need to consider. This comes from a listener, or a few listeners actually, that are asking like, hey, I'm getting this, I got this boat now. I have a boat, what should I do to make it more efficient? So we said, why not? Let's talk about it. We're gonna go over a few things today, like setting up your graphs, rod holders, things like that. And we'll just start from there. Josh, you wanna lead us off?
Sure, I think this is really good. It's really good for the three of us to talk about it because we all have different years of boats. So we all have boats and we all have had boats that span different years and different types and different setups. So we can talk about how we, you know, I used to set up my aluminum boat as opposed to my boat I have now. That way people can get an idea, because I've noticed that when we get these questions, a lot of guys are either upgrading their boats from, let's say, a small 17 foot or 16 foot, you know, aluminum single console Lund or something with a 40 horsepower motor. They're going from that to, let's say, a 19 foot glass boat with a rod locker and stuff they never had before, and they want to know how to set it up. Or vice versa, they have that, you know, 18 foot older Lund or Sylvan or something, and they're
just trying to put upgrades.
They're just trying to put it together and see how they can make it more efficient. So, so I think all of us have that type of experience with the boats we've owned throughout our lives. So, I think the one of the first things we need to talk about is, you know, and I think ours are all set up different, is how do you set it up from bow to stern as far as electronics and rod holders, Mitch?
Well, I've got two rod holders up front, and I just got the new Lowrance last spring.
Oh, that's right. You did, didn't you?
Yeah. So, but I've just got my one good unit, right? So,
right. That's all you need, dude. Trust me.
Well, I know, but I love to have that sonar up front too, because I love to fish up front. Jigging and even drifting and stuff. I like to sit up there by the trolling motor. And I don't get to do that, so I'm standing back by the console. I've got a foot pedal for my trolling motor. Yeah. So I'm back by the console fishing just so I can see my electronics. So that's the one thing that's like, I wish I had enough money to have, you know, a unit up front too. Someday, you know.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, that kind of brings up a pretty slick thing that I did with the Greenpeace. So this was my last boat, just a 14 foot aluminum with a 10 horse Honda. So, you know, a lot of guys are running small little boats like that, right?
Sure.
Fish. And you know, it was awesome. I had a 10-horse Honda. I had a little Minn Kota on the front. I put sonar on it, right? Well, what the problem was with the Greenpeace is, you know, I would troll back by my tiller, you know, in the back, but then I would jig up front. Well, what do you do with the sonar? You know, where are you going to lock it down? Then I can't see it. So I built a wooden kind of bracket thing that my sonar attached to, and I just left the cords kind of up on top and kind of wrapped them in that you know, kind of protective wrap that the electronics type stuff. And it was beautiful, because if I was trolling, it was sitting right next to me back by the motor. If I was going to jig, I just grabbed it and then I'd carry it up front with me and put it down on the deck. And it was awesome. So I just wanted to kind of share that little innovation that I did, just to be able to move that sonar around. So a smaller boat, it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the key, right? Is I think when you have some of these smaller boats or older boats, you have to get creative with how you build a box, or, you know, you have to be a little bit handy to kind of make things work out the right way.
I did the same thing with my small box. I put everything into one of those ammo cans. This was years ago. Right. I attached my electronics on the very top. I had a 14 foot flat bottom with a 7.5 horse. So I did the same thing Mitch did, as The battery went in the ammo box with my depth finder, my graph on the top of it, and then my cord that to my transducer. I would just run. I would go up and down because it's invaluable. Needing it up at the bow and then also in the stern when you're trolling. So that's great for the guys that have that. Have that boat that only allows them to do that. We're fortunate enough now that we have a little bit bigger boats, or we have boats that already have, they're not just full aluminum bottoms. They're actually built out with decks and things like that.
And they have places for your grass and wires to go.
So, which makes it way better because then you don't have wires out and everything. But there is a way to do it if that's the boat you're type running. But right now, like my boat, I have two graphs on there. I'd love to have three, right? Yeah. But they're Ethernet, they're connected, so I can do waypoints, see where my just see everything together. They're Lowrances. But up front, it's invaluable to have that one, like Mitch was talking about, because you do so much fishing when you're locked on something, whether it's jigging or you and your buddy are spot locked on a spot, and you up in the bow now can watch the transition when you're casting, and then the guys also in the back can see the council one, but when they're casting or when they're jigging. Mm-hmm. So I really think that if you can afford it, and I know Mitch said much about a nice unit, right? So now he's got to upgrade, or he's got to buy an additional one to connect into the one that's on his council. But when you can afford it, it's invaluable to have two. Wouldn't you guys agree to have one up in the bow and one in the stern? Now I would love to have one. This is not needed though. I would love to have one that's removable, or one that I can put in right by the back motor. So when I am trolling, I don't have to keep looking back at my council. Now that's just me being lazy, right? Yeah. So I said, if I could have three, I'd love to have three.
Right.
But I really don't like that.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny. So mine set up with one in the front. I have a 9-inch in the front, a 12 on the console or in the console, and then another 7-inch on the back. But they all are connected, so you can see the same thing, but the structure scan runs through the main transducer on the 12. So whatever the 12 is seeing on the main transducer, it will put that in the other two. And then the other two have their own sonar, which is, you know, the 2D, and which is pretty cool. But I think the interesting part is, and what Mitch is doing, is your boat will more than likely outlast your sonars. So the technology 100%. Changes. Yeah. So you're constantly going to be doing stuff like that. Sonar technically, it will work for a long time, hopefully most of it. But every 3 or 4 years to stay up with the technology, you know, you start like what Mitch is doing. You buy one year and you rotate the newer, or the better of the two, let's say from the middle, like let's say Mitch bought one this year, next year rotates that middle one up to the front, puts a new one in the middle. And then that's kind of how you start to set everything out. I'm at that point now where mine are 5 or 6 years old, and I really should start to rotate them and get new ones.
It's all about this.
That's the problem, is because as you start to rotate, the price is also going up. So it's pricey. But so let's talk about, we all have, I think the other interesting piece is that we all have, I don't know, Mitch, do you have the autopilot and all that on your?
No.
Okay. So Mitch doesn't have the autopilot and all that stuff. I've got the XI5. Brad, you have the, is it the Trova or the V2?
No, the P2.
So Brad's got the V2, the Minn Kota, and so we have the spot lock and all that kind of good stuff, and the headings and all that, those features that come on the newer ones. And I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I think I've seen this when we all fish together too. I'm not in the front of the boat as much as I used to be when I had a cable steer, foot pedal, electric. I can fish, jig, whatever, as much from the back as I can from the front. And I find myself almost in the back as much as I am in the front. Unless, you know, of course, there's two or three people fishing out of the boat, then I'm in the front. But do you guys find that too with the everything with doing it by remote and all that?
Well, since Mitch just has the cable driven cable driven now with his, so I have the iPilot, but we fish a lot together. I would say probably, unless we are specifically sitting on a spot and we are jigging or casting, I would say 90% of our or time on the water during the season now is from the council back.
Yeah.
Because I can drive, you know, anywhere in a boat.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Limitations that I have found though on that is I wish that they had, and they might have this, but I don't know about it. I wish that maybe I had two controllers, because when I end up getting on a fish and the wind's blowing and it's kind of a hard time to keep things going, you know, Mitch trying to reach across me and drive the boat,
right,
you know, grab it off in front of me. That doesn't happen that much, but
well, and you guys kind of like nice. You guys kind of like that anyway. So
get all
you're
right.
You're like,
or I just stand there and hold the net while he's dealing with all of it.
That's usually what it is. I'm reeling and directed and then reeling back down. And I don't want him touching me, dude. I don't get away from
it. Stop.
I got it. So, but yeah, no, to answer your question, Josh, I think now with having those iPilots and things like that, whatever system right. you're running, it does keep you more in the back of the boat. So with that, going back to graphs, if like what Mitch has, if you only can afford one graph, put it in your center console, because if you have one of those trolling motors that you're going to be running with a remote system, why not?
Right.
You can do everything you need to do there other than jigging a spot and being able to see the structure that you're on top of. And you know what? Well, I've done it before when I'm out by myself. I have the front console graph and I'll go up there and jig. But I've jigged right next to my console. Yeah. I mean, my center console before. I'm just jigging. You know what I mean?
So well, and if you
it just
somebody,
seems like you should be up front.
Yeah, and if you take somebody fishing and they don't quite understand everything you're doing, you put them in the front. You can sit in the back,
front,
look at the thing.
And down.
Yeah. Lock them down and stuff. So on that, let's talk about gear, how you store your gear. There's a bunch of different ways to throw gear in a boat. And I've been watching a little bit of that H2H head-to-head fishing that they did on the Fox River. And you two have been on the Fox River, so you can relate to that tournament. But very interesting to see how the guys do it different, right? Some guys have really nice boats, but they store their gear in a bunch of different ways. Some of it looks chaotic to me. Other guys have a little bit older boats and they've built rod storage systems. So their rods are sticking straight up in the air off the back or whatever. So how do you guys, let's say, store nets, rods, and, your boxes holding your gear?
Well, I'll talk about boxes and you can talk about rods and nets, bitch, if you want, if you want to break it up. So we're not all
tell them what kind of boat you got though, when you do it, so they can kind of have some,
so
they can relate.
So I got a Tracker Targa, 2012, it's, 18, it's right at 19 feet. But, what we started doing is, you know, when you start looking at all the gear that we have, we're like, oh my God, all the boxes of tackle that we have, it's just, you can fill up the whole boat just with that, right? Because yeah, it's like shoes for some, you know, for women. It's like, oh my God, yes, I need that.
Yeah.
I need that crankbait, right?
Yeah.
So we buy it on, especially on the off season. But what we found is there's a ton of time that when you're going out for different seasons and different things that you have a pretty good idea what you're going to do. Top three things that you're going to do. So we put boxes, removable boxes, super easy. They're just like the, milk carton. Yeah, they're like the milk carton that you get from Walmart, that we put them underneath our consoles, and we just put a 1-inch raise board that we glued in front of it, so it makes your tackle trays kind of at an angle so they don't slip around and bounce out. But that way we can put 5 trays of whatever we want in each one. So we can run with 10 trays, right? And then on top of that, we have small tackle boxes, probably – oh, I would say a foot by 14 inches type tackle boxes that can carry your weights and anything else, your line and all that
little
stuff.
That little medium-sized bag, you know.
Yeah, so enough for all your other gear, and they'll sit on top of it. And what that does is, first of all, it really cleans up the floor, right? I mean, there is nothing in our way that's wasted space anyway. I mean, that's normally where we put our tackle boxes. We would slide our bags up under there. But the problem that we were running into is during the day, you'd pull those bags out, you'd change your tackle, and all of a sudden it's sitting in the middle of the bag, you're running up front, you're tripping over, it's just things in the way, right? So we just became more efficient. So that's how we store our gear. The gear storage in the tracker is okay, it's more set up for like rods.
Yeah.
And
because you have those
like
gunnel
life jack.
You got those gunnel compartments, right?
Yeah, we can store gear. We can store stuff like that. Great, but it's not set up really good for trays of tackle. Like right. Yours has places to put it
right.
In the Ranger. So me and Mitch both, he runs a Trekker too. And his is an older one, but it also has pretty good rod locker storage too. So you can talk about that rod, how we do our nets and everything.
Yeah, well, and you know, like in mine, it's probably got the least amount of storage out of all three of our boats. But you know, even the rod lockers are pretty small. So I can only get a few rods in there in reality. So Brad actually built it when he owned the boat. So yeah, that's how we do it. Brad gets a boat, then once he gets a new one, I buy his old one, which is awesome because you know, I spend quite a bit of time in Brad's boats. but you know, he built just with PVC tubing, like inch and a half, I think is what it is. Built a little holder bracket that sits up front in the bow, right on the front side of the console. And boom, I can put in, I think, 8 rods.
Oh, wow.
Right up front. So yeah, you figure out a way, right? So when I'm loading up and bringing all these rods, it's great just to be able to put them in there. They're out of the way. That, you know, that somebody fishing up front, you've got rods, you know, right behind you essentially. But you know, I don't have a lot of storage, so it works great for that.
Yeah.
Then my net, and we've got set up on Brad's boat right now too, the same way. Just that little plastic net holder that you can screw onto the side of your gunwale, basically. So boom, that's standing. So rods and the net vertical in my boat, just to save that space. Now, of course, if we're pre-fishing for a tournament in my boat, that net's staying on the deck.
Right.
they don't need to see when it comes out and goes back. And now, if it's just that we don't have a net today.
Yeah, we're just thumbing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one thing I'll say about the, you know, I got the Ranger 620. And what I love about the Ranger is I have that front deck space and I've got the straps that come on it. So it's got the two compartments in the front, which are dry storage. And then you have a cooler and you have a bait well. And so that basically takes up the front compartment of the boat. And, you know, one side is full of tools and, you know, ropes and things like that. And then I can put like food in there. And then the other side are life jackets, coats, sweatshirts, gloves, whatever, you know, depending on what time of year we're going out. So I'm able to put lay rods down and strap them down. And then the other great part is I carry two nets. I carry two ego nets because how many times have we been in a tournament or something where you get a double, let's say, and you put one in the net and it's a crankbait and it's all tangled up in the net. And now your partner doesn't have a net. What if he's got the bigger fish, right? So you got an 18 incher sitting on the deck tangled in the net and you can't use the net for the 10 pounder that's coming in with your partner. So
that's never happened to you, dude. that's being prepared. We just know it hasn't.
Talk about planning for a rainy day.
Yeah, you might as well get three nets then.
Yeah,
just
it could happen.
I don't know. Yeah.
So I have two, and we have used them a lot. That is actually one of the best things. Even if it's small fish, we just have used them a lot in tournaments to make sure each one of us has a net if we need it. So I strap those on the front and that pretty much takes the front of my boat. And then like you were saying, Brad, I have two side compartments that are basically built for those plastic, you know, individual carrying trays. And for me to keep it simple, I have a kind of like a crankbait trolling side. I put all my crankbait boxes and my boards and stuff like that on one side. And then on the other side is my jigging stuff. And then I have also have a casting deck on mine, which gives me about a 4-foot overhang that I can put bags under. And I have bags with different plastics that are starting to line up underneath that. But I think what I have started to figure out is, A, you know, a lot of that stuff adds a lot of weight. So I'm trying to minimize, especially when we go tournament fishing, how much of that stuff I have in the boat. B, like you said, I am figuring out through pre-fish what we're doing. And then I am trying to take that stuff out of the boat and leave it either in the truck or in the hotel room or wherever to kind of minimize the weight and be able to put storage of more stuff that
we're
using.
Well, and it makes you more streamlined too. If you are looking for that a box of 7 flickers or whatever,
right.
You know, you're not digging through the storms or the hot and tots to get to them,
right.
Because you've eliminated some of that, and you have cut down on the weight. So that's a huge part.
Yeah, and I have the rails that go around my boat, so I use the ram mount rod holders, and they go on the rails, so they mount on the rails, and I have two in the front, and I have six in the back. I've got three on each side, one of which is has an extension on it, so it goes higher, so the front rod goes a little bit higher, stands higher. That way you can, when you're running boards, you can get that height, so the lines clear the flags of the inside board. And, you know, I don't do those. I've seen those big rod systems where they've got pipes, you know, basically they look like pipes, right? They go all the way up and they put them way high in the air and all that. I don't think it's necessary, and I don't do it. You know, if I need to, I just got that 1 foot extension, and I tilt it up to where it's up a little bit higher at a little bit steeper angle. And that seems to handle getting the line as high as I need it. But it's, you know, and then I have the two other rod holders that are just the regular ram mount rod holders that work good for everything else, jigging or your second rods or your whatever. And but the one thing I do have, which is the best in this boat, is do have a substantial amount of storage in that rod locker that's between the consoles. And I have a windshield, so it's the one that comes up between the windshield. And man, I got to tell you, it's even big enough to put two rods per, you know, per circular spot, you know, the holder, the tube. So I have my trolling and my bottom bouncing rods are all pretty standard on the bottom. And then I layer the top with my jigging rods, and then my casting rods go on the front deck and are strapped down. And that's kind of how I
roll. Yeah, I think what it is you got to look at your boat and see where you can put them, because like I got wide gunnels on there. We can put four or five rods in each gunnel. I could put six, so I could put eight down below. And then of course, like four up front, and then whatever you have out.
Yep.
So each one is going to be different. Mitch's is a little bit different. He can only put a couple in his side gunnels because they're not as wide, but he can put some down below a couple of the shorter rods, like his short her like lead core rod, so it's out of the way. And then, like you said, he could put four or five up front with his PVC pipe thing. So he's able to, you're able to efficiently have like a dozen rods in your boat, Mitch. Josh, you can have 25. And I can also have, you know, in that 20 range, right? And still be very proficient.
And keep them out of the way.
That's the biggest thing. Is so it's not a shit show out there.
Yeah.
So we've talked about that. We're only got a few minutes left, and we've talked about rod holders, how you run them. I'm a great fan of the extensions. If you have your whatever ram mount system that you have, it doesn't matter, whatever, whether it's Scotty's or whatever you decide to run, to get some that are raised up, because it will help you when you're running boards, when you're long lining, things like that, and have something, a couple up on the bow for those that are trolling, or for jigging, and a couple, two to four, preferably in the back, if you are trolling. So I would suggest a minimum of six rod mounts, three on each side, if you're going to do put rod holders on there and you have the ability to do that. One thing I want to talk about before we wrap it up, though, is kickers. Whether you have a kicker, we've talked a little bit about trolling motors and stuff, but kicker motors is another thing that guys ask about. Should I have one? How big do you really need? So Mitch doesn't have, on his, you run a 90 horsepower, 17 foot tracker, but he's just got a kicker plate on that. He doesn't have a trolling plate to slow him down. And this was a ton of research. I have, like I said, a 19 foot boat, a lot heavier than Mitch's. I got a 115 Optimax, but then I went to put on my boat a kicker. I was looking at the 9.9s because everything's 9.9 or 15, right? Well, my cash was a little bit, I wanted to upgrade the electronics, so I was like, I don't want to spend out a bunch of cash. So I ended up just going with the 8 horsepower Merc long shaft. Put a trolling guide, or a trolling guide, trolling master on that, so I can dial it up and down. And the 8 horsepower, I'm telling you, there was a guide up in Canada that has 15 different boats, and he had 8 horses, and that's what sold it to me. So I contacted him. He's like, dude, it pushes around. No problem. You barely have to have it on. So I bought the 8 to save me some cash. And I'm telling you, on a boat that's under 20 feet, I know that thing will push you. You don't even notice it. You get some of the heavier boats like yours, Josh. A 20-foot boat, the Rangers, they're just heavier fiberglass. You probably need to have that 10 to 15.
Wouldn't you agree? Yeah, I got the 15 HO, and I have what's great about that motor, the Evinrude, is, well, there's two things, and this is going to be a little bit of an Evinrude commercial, but it's amazing because, first off, I had that 9.9 kicker you're talking about, Brad, on my old boat, and it was the most cold-blooded son of a bitch you've ever seen in your life. I mean, it would take forever for me to run that thing with the throttle forward, get it warmed up, and then it would die. You know, and that's tough when you're in a tournament, especially if it's cold. This Evinrude is a push start. It's tiller. So that old one used to be connected to my center motor with a bar that went across for my main motor. And this one is a tiller, and I tighten it down pretty good, and I use my electric to steer. And but everything is done on the tiller, and that includes, it comes with a toggle switch for RPMs. It's a plus or minus toggle switch, and I can bump that 15 horsepower motor all the way down to 0.8. And it's, I mean, I touch it, it starts, and it runs all day. And I don't, and it barely takes any oil. I mean, I fill it up with oil once a year, whether I need to or not. And I run it the whole year. So it's pretty interesting how well that motor works. And I don't know if a lot of guys, maybe because Evinrude doesn't put it out as much, but that kicker motor is by far the best kicker motor I've ever been, had or been on a boat that's ran that I've seen. It just runs really well. But I do mine with the tiller. I choose to do it with the tiller. I used to do it with an extension handle. And it's tough to steer. It becomes tough to do because it is so responsive that it's almost too responsive. If you're not paying attention, it'll spin you in a circle before you know it, and boards and lines are all over the place. So using that kicker motor with the tiller, tying it down, or locking it down because it has a lockdown lever, and running the electric as you're steering, that is by far the way to go.
I agree. Mitch, you have anything else to add on kickers?
No, just I wish I had one.
I know.
Well, you're only a year or two away from buying a new boat, dude.
Pretty soon you'll have one because you'll be buying my boat.
Right. And I'm a big 8-horsepower fan.
Love it. Love it. So everybody from All Eyes on Fishing, we'd really like to thank you guys for bearing with us during these times. Getting these out the way we're doing right now is a little bit different. We are going to get back into walleye one soon, but we still want to be out there. We're still fishing. Love to have you guys continue to contact us on alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. Make sure you're letting everybody know about our website. Just keep buying gear. We have been getting a lot of gear orders for hats and sweatshirts and things like that. It's taking us a little bit to fill them now, but we're still getting them in, still keep them coming. Love to have it. We're glad the water's finally opening up and guys are getting out there fishing. So from all of us at All Eyes on Fishing, thanks a lot, and we appreciate it.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.